Practice things before you first conceive those things in your mind. Nobody ever practiced anything before they conceived it in their mind. First, the thought comes to the mind, and then if it's a good thought that should be acted out, we act it out. Or if it's a bad thought that we want to act out, we act it out. The first one is to believe, or to have faith. F-A-I-T-H, in Allah. Allah. Aminu billah. Faith. To have faith in Allah. I believe in Allah. And to have faith in what we know what should come next, right? His. We never did say prophets, we always say his. Because their prophets are not his. His prophets. They're false prophets, right? And his prophet, our messenger. Prophets are messengers. The Prophet Muhammad is called in the Quran a messenger and prophet. Messenger prophet. And he's called that because he didn't only come in prophecy and the prophecy that was before him and fulfill that prophecy that was before him and also prophesied. Many of us don't know that Prophet Muhammad prophesied. He did. And also prophesied. But his job was like an evangelist, going from place to place with the message, giving the message to all the people. So he was a messenger, prophet. Messenger. We put messenger. Messenger. Since we have adults here today, and many of you know a lot about religion, Bible, and Quran too, perhaps. I'm going to tie in the Bible with some words. Now, to show the difference between the idea in the Bible and the idea in the Quran. In the Bible, prophet can be a false prophet. There are prophets that the Bible mentioned, but they were false. I think Jezebel is called a prophetess.
Right.
But you know, she's a sinner, great sinner. Now, the Quran is different. Nobody is called prophet except Allah's prophet. And in the Bible, again, ministers, preachers of the gospel, are called messengers. In the Quran, only the prophet can be called messenger. So that was a great difficulty for Al Elijah Muhammad and those who were questioning his use of applying the term messenger to himself. So he said, I'm not a prophet. He said, I'm a messenger. But they were confused because in Arabic, in their language, in their understanding, prophet and messenger is the same. But in the Bible language, it's different. A minister can be a messenger. He's a messenger of the gospel. He's a messenger of the gospel. But he can say he's a messenger of God because he's a messenger of the gospel. You see? So the understanding is different. Messenger and prophet in the Quranic language or in the Arabic language means that you got direct communication from God through supernatural way. By a supernatural way. It didn't come ordinarily. If I talk to you like I'm a man, I'm talking to you, that's not revelation. That's just somebody talking to you. You can say God sent them, but still, that's not the man talking to you. But if you, through no man, get understanding that nobody else got, and extend what prophets did before, and unlock mysteries and extend the prophecy, if you do that, and you receive it from a source that you say was God. If it stands up, if it can be proven that what you gave stands up just like all the other scriptures that went before, well, you will become known as a prophet. You see? Now, there were many things that happened in the life of Prophet Muhammad to serve as evidence that he was indeed a prophet of Allah. Many things happened. Please don't run that report unless it can run without me knowing. many things happened in the life of Prophet Muhammad that serve as evidence that he was indeed a messenger of Prophet of God. We won't go and name those things, but to be a messenger or prophet in Islam, there must be
a revelation.
So if you say he's a prophet, he's a messenger. Those that understand prophet and messenger in this sense, they say, where is his message? What did he bring? Where is his book? And all of Elijah Muhammad, if he had raised up a book, then maybe we could suspect that he was saying that he was a messenger or prophet, as it is understood in Al-Islam. But he never raised up a book other than the Holy Quran. Although he had booklets from Master Farad's teaching, but he never raised those books up and said, this is a revelation from God. Never did he ever introduce them as revelation from God. So by that, the Prophet Elijah Muhammad clearly was saying that he was a minister of Master Farad Muhammad, a minister serving divine purpose. A minister, a messenger, but not in this sense, a messenger in the Bible sense, meaning a minister of the divine message. A minister of the divine message. Now, let us go to number 3. To have faith in, what would be the third now? Yes. Books. That's right. First, Allah, he's the source of everything. Then the prophets, they're inspired by Allah. And with the inspiration comes new knowledge. But that knowledge is put into scrolls in ancient times.
And the book.
In the book. And we have the book, the Holy Quran. So believe in his books. And we all have to say his book. Allah's book. Belief in his book. Now what I'm giving you here is universal. When you go in India, Africa, Philippines, anywhere you go, and if you ask the person that you're getting them here, it'll be the same. It doesn't change anywhere. Now, to have faith in Allah, to have faith in his prophets, to have faith in his book, and four. What would four be?
Angels.
Yes. Four, to have faith in his, not in angels, in his angels. In angels. In his angels. A-N-G-L-D-E-L. In his angels. Okay. To have faith in his angels. Faith. Hereafter, there's no such expression in the Quran, hereafter. No such expression in the Quran, hereafter. The expression is el-hay ba'd al-maut, life after death. El-hay, we believe in el-hay, the life. After, ba'da means after. After, el maw, the death. After the death. D, E, A, T, A. After the death. Now, there's one more. We're going to talk on this one, because this is the one that the sinners have the biggest problems with. But let's go to the last one. Who knows the last
reward
one?
And punishment.
Reward and punishment. Six.
Reward.
R-E-W-A-R-D. And A-N-D. Punishment. P-U-N-I-S-H-M-T-N-T, right? Punishment, all right. Now we have them on the board. There are many other things we believe in, but these are the most important.
These are the first things for Muslims in their belief.
And they are in order, they are written in the order that they come naturally. This is the order that they naturally come. First, we believe that there is a power greater than us. We fear that power.
When we're in trouble, we turn to that power for help
if we can't find it any other way. And second, some of those people, among those people who have that fear, there'll be some closer to the fear, to the right kind of fear than others. Okay. Among that kind of people, a prophet will come into existence. And from the prophet, there will be books. Are the written message, teachings of the prophets. And then there will be an explanation, because the people want to know, how did this come from you? There wasn't a physical man, no physical person talked to him. How did this come? So they explain it. It came by way of the angels, the medium by which the message reached the prophet from Allah is called angels. And what does angels mean? Means those forces in Allah's creation that he used to serve him in his relationship with people. The force can be non-human and the force can be human. But an angel can never be, a human being can never be an angel. But an angel can be a human being. Now let me explain. Yes, I use the same one we used the other day. Say if I have great need, there's an emergency, I need $20. I couldn't get the $20. All day long I've been trying to get $20. And I need it by 7 o'clock. There's going to be a great problem for me at 7 o'clock. I don't have $20. I go home, I'm giving up. It's close to 7 o'clock. The time I get home, start in my house, somebody say, "Hey, brother man." I say, "Yeah." Say, "I've been trying to get them with you. I got donation for you." I say, "Oh, thank you." I open up the package, it's $20. The man who gave me $20 didn't know I needed $20. So at that time, Allah was using him as he was the force. Allah using his force, his body, as the angel to bring me the money. But he's not an angel, because at the time he had no knowledge of the role that he was playing. So the angel are the forces that Allah used to carry out his missions between himself and his creatures. And they have no sex, they have no intelligence. As the Quran says, have the angels speaking, but you have to understand the interpretation. God said, Adam said, tell them their names. Tell the angels their name. And the Holy Quran says that all of them submitted, except Iblis, the rebellious devil. Says, they said to God, we have no knowledge except that you give us. We have no knowledge except that you give us. Meaning that they don't have any ability. Learn anything, study anything, to know anything. But it applies generally too. It means that those forces that God has not given the free in mind, the free intelligence, they don't question God. Mm-hmm. Whenever he orders, they obey. They cannot resist. They don't have the free intelligence to resist. The only creature that he has given free intelligence is a human being. So we can resist. We question and we resist. But the forces that are in the creation, they don't resist. And Allah says in the Holy Quran that Islam, Muslim value, is the nature of the creation. Mm-hmm. And we say in Islam, that every in the, every person is a Muslim in his nature, or in her nature. It's only in their complete mind that they are not Muslim, but in their nature they are Muslims. Now the example that I just gave you of a person being used as an angel is clear proof that the human being in his nature is a Muslim. His mind couldn't come into it to question what God wanted him to do. So he brought the 29. His nature, his body, serves God with no question. Right?
That's right.
I'm talking about something many people experience.
That's right.
Sinners and good people experience. Right? Okay. Well, here's something that many people experience. Well, this tells us that the nature, the real nature of the human being is not against God. It follows without question. But his intelligence, the things that he has learned from the world, make him have crazy ideas. He resists God. He doesn't want to be right. Now, let us go to this. The life after death. In the Quran, Allah says, tell us, the beautiful description, the kind of life that we are coming to. He described it as a garden with thick green foliage. The green is deep, very deep. Rich means very rich. We know when we go to a garden and we see the green is deep green, it means rich.
Mm-hmm.
It's rich, very rich in life. And he describes it as being very heavy, thick, not just sparsely, scarcely planted, but richly planted. Then he describes the colors, the beautiful colors. And he describes the mates that we have, the eyes of the women. You know, you read. They're big eyes, big bright eyes. And a man likes a big bright eyed woman. You don't want a big buckeye. Yeah. A man like a big wide-eyed woman. Woman half sleepy like the other people then.
That's right.
Like a big bright eye. So Allah knows the kinds of things that we like, so he put those things in the Quran as description. As description of a description for the paradise or the afterlife. But those who read the Quran over and over and have faith in Allah and believe in what he's given them, Allah bring them to a higher understanding. That first description there, it's mostly symbolic. Many other definitions, terms to describe it. But symbolic, you've been using the word symbolic, you're familiar with that, and that's the one to use. It's mostly symbolic. Doesn't mean that you're going to have that exactly as it is. But can Allah lie to us? He says in here, Jannatin, two gardens, which means two paradises. And he describes them to let us know that there is one that is physical. And it will be like this, of plenty to eat, rich, the healthy food, rich and healthy food, nice soft couches to rest on, as the Quran says. You know, people don't like to rest on the ground. They do it because they have to. But if they had a nice, soft mattress and sleep on it, they'd appreciate it. So God has said that we would have all these things. Now, those people he was talking to, most of them didn't have any such thing. In fact, none of them in the Quran would have anything like that. Unless it was in fact, none of them. Because Prophet Muhammad didn't get that people like that into his following first. He got the poor people, the poor of the people, into his following first. And mostly Bilalians. Bilalians from Ethiopia and Bilalian slaves. And good people among them, few good people, close relatives. Khadija, his wife, Ali, his nephew, Omar, his friend, Abu Bakr, his friend. So a few close, but very few, count them on your hand almost. The rest of them were the poor people and slaves. Poor people and slaves. And some friends from Ethiopia who heard about the religion. No, they went to Ethiopia looking for refuge in Ethiopia. And there, some Ethiopians were converted to Islam. So, the description of this afterlife is a description that we have to translate. For this world is correct. If we believe in Allah and serve Allah, certainly Allah will give us ease in the material life. So God, if He's our God and we serve Him, shouldn't He give us the material blessing? Certainly He should. He shouldn't deny it to us and give it to sinners. But Allah says the same thing that He offers us of the material world, says He leave it open to sinners. Says the gates of the material blessing are open to all, the good and the bad. Doesn't mean that everybody gonna get it. Among the sinners, there are some that can never get the dollar they want. And among the good people, there are some that can never get the dollar they want. They have the education, they get skills, they get great knowledge, and still can't get the money. Then there's some that have no education, no skill, they're fools when they get the money. Good and bad, right? So nobody has control over the wealth, over the giving of wealth, except Allah. And that's what the Holy Quran says. Says He gives as He gains, as He pleases. And says, and He holds back as He pleases. He knows what's best for you. He knows how to best develop you, how to best test you and develop you, or bring you to where you're supposed to go. He knows best. So if He doesn't give you and you're trying and trying and trying, He has given you the best. Thank Allah. So you find Muslims, they say, you won't have a job. You ask him, say, how do you feel? He said, Alhamdulillah. Rather than say, I feel disappointed, he says, Alhamdulillah. Not that he's giving you an answer. He's reminding himself that all praise due to Allah. Whatever Allah has willed it for me, I accept. That doesn't mean that we should be satisfied in poverty. Allah has said that we should develop wealth. He says, وَتَّغِي فِي مَا يَتَعَكَ اللَّهَ دَعْمَ خِيَرَ وَلَا هَدَنْتَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. He said, seek with everything that you have in your means that God has provided your health, your strength, your knowledge, everything. God has darul akhirah, the promise, darul akhirah, the promised home in the end. In the end. Darul akhirah, the promised home in the end. But don't forget, or don't neglect your part of getting a share of the material world. Now Allah says that plainly. So no, we don't have to guess in the Quran. We don't have to guess whether Allah wants me to develop myself materially, whether Allah wants me to develop the economy. It's plain. It's in plain language that a fool can't miss. You see? But at the same time, if I don't get profit from my labor, I'm to say Alhamdulillah. If I'm lazy and neglecting to do what I should do, and I don't get credit for my labor, then I don't say that's Allah's plan. That's my labor. You don't know yet. We didn't use our legs, right? So we don't know yet. Maybe we can't walk, but we didn't try today yet. All right, so we are talking about al-hayy ba'd al-maw, al-hayy ba'd al-maw. Now Allah says in the Quran, let me keep up touch with this time here, I don't want to lose touch with the time. Well, also, you know, you stand in that place. Concerning time, mankind is in a state of loss, when people are getting lost. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمِنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Except those who have right faith and practice right deeds. But the way I saw them hot, and they struggle for truth, but the way I saw them struggle. And they struggle in persevere patiently. So, I don't want to lose that. Now let's go back and hayy ba'd al-maut. Allah says in the Quran that it is not merely a promise, it is a necessity that I resurrect you and give you another life. It is a necessity. Why is it a necessity? Why is it a necessity? The human being is not like the stone. The stone come in the world, nobody takes care of it, it can't complain. It hasn't been given a nature to worry about its shape and its condition.
and to feel abused if somebody break it. So if the stone is worn away and broken, it doesn't need any special kind of resurrection. But the human being is a creature that registers what happens and is cruel and insane to give me a lot of questions on my mind and let me pass and never have the answer. So God says that it is a necessity. Not that it's just a mere promise. It is a necessity that he resurrects the dead. Not the mental dead, the spiritual, I mean the physically dead. But will they be resurrected as physical beings? Will the physical being stand up like that again? No. That's not the way it happens. You're resurrected when you sleep. But your body doesn't stand up unless you sleep long.
I love it.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
That's right.
So our Lord shows us in sleep that he can resurrect us while we're asleep. And sometimes the experience is so real that we wake up and still think.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. In fact, some dreams are more real than life.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
My senses have been keener in some dreams than they mm-hmm. are in life.
Mm-hmm.
So Allah is showing us that he doesn't have to wake up your physical body to wake your conscience up.
That's right.
In the Quran, Allah says that he takes the soul by night while they are asleep. He says, and you don't have any power to get your soul back.
Mm-hmm.
Allah gives you your soul back.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't that a fact?
Yeah,
yes,
that's right.
What person knows that, well, now I got to wake up. Let me wake myself up. Let me get my mind, let me get my conscience back. No, it happens. Somebody wakes you up. Noise wakes you up. Or you just get enough rest and wake up. Something wakes you up, right?
That's right.
You don't have the power to turn the thing, to make whatever it is that way. You don't have the power to do that. So there's a lot of mysteries in life.
Mm-hmm.
By mystery, I mean things that is above mm-hmm. human intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be given to us. Understanding has to be given to us by Allah.
Right.
The human intelligence is not enough. The human intelligence is only enough if it submits to Allah.
Mm-hmm.
Then Allah aids it. And it gets the answer.
Mm-hmm.
As Allah says, to get some sign of the life after the death, to observe the world around you and observe your own self.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that this life came from life? Where did this life come from? The trees, the animals, all the life, where do you think it came from? Came from death. All the life we have on earth came from death. Before there was life, there was nothing but dead things.
Yeah.
So Allah says, what's wrong with these people's minds that they believe that I created these things from the beginning and made life when there was no life? And doubt that I can give life back again to a thing that I already had life. Is that how stupid it is?
Yes,
we either going to believe in religion or throw it out there in the
paper.
People in religion say God did all this. There was no earth. There was nothing.
Right.
And he did all this from the beginning, from scratch, without anything. But that same God can't wake me up again
mm-hmm.
in a new creation.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of stupid
That's
question
right.
is that?
So think about it. That's right.
Mm. Or do I say they laugh in words? They laugh at what you say, mock at it, and forget their own stupidity.
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing that holds us back from believing in the continuation of life is the fear that we can't face the judgment.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
That's the only thing that holds us back.
Mm-hmm.
The mind accepts it.
Yeah.
It's intelligent. Some people beat their brains out for hell. Try and escape it. Go this way, go that way. Try and escape it. Rationalize. Goodness, false, keep up. Try and escape it. And then stop running. Nothing is chasing you but your own weakness.
That's right.
So the Quran says, you will find those that love the life of this world, the material things, rejecting you, rejecting the belief in the hereafter. Because they fear their sin. If they say yes, there's a hereafter, then they have to live daily with the conscience that if I don't improve upon my life, I'm going to reap the consequences of my evil doing. So this is something that we have to overcome. The world is fighting us with their teaching that haven't given us understanding. With understanding, you can overcome those things. But life after death. All right. We see the dead things come from the ground. We bring a dead mustard seed, or dead seed from a grape, and we give it to the scientist. He carries it to his lab, and we say, look at it, study it, see if you can discover life in it. He says, no, there's no more life in it, it's dead. We take that dead seed, and we put it in the ground in springtime, and when the water comes, and the temperature comes, and the sunshine shines, pretty soon that the thing that the scientists say was dead has burst into life.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
We're talking scientifically.
That's right.
And Islam is a scientific religion. Yeah. Even Allah is proven scientifically. Yeah. His existence is proven scientifically. Science won't accept it because they are not ready to change their science.
Mm-hmm.
But it is proven scientifically that Allah exists. All right. Now, if Allah can give life to a dead seed, if it once had life, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It was once a part of a living fruit.
Right.
The fruit was alive, the seed was alive.
Mm-hmm.
But the fruit died, it was separated from its life source, it died. The seeds, everything dried up, the seed dried, turned to nothing but a dead earth. But Allah has placed into that seed something for regeneration, something for rebirth.
Mm-hmm.
Now Allah has placed something into this body for rebirth.
Mm-hmm.
And when it starts at its right temperature and get its water and its sunshine, it's going to burst to life again. But it won't get the water like that water. It needs a different kind of water. Sunshine doesn't want to be this sunshine. It needs a different kind. But when it gets the tough environment for its regeneration, it will rise again. It will burst into life again. This is the teachings of Islam. And it's very easy to understand if we don't fear the burden of our sin. Sometimes it's not the burden of our personal sin that we fear, but we hate to think that sweet old John is going to have to face the report. That mama so-and-so don't have to face the book. See, there are a lot of things working in us to make us afraid to acknowledge the eternal, the power of God to bring life back again. Now, let's look at something else now. Look at the seed. Let's look at ourselves. Allah says that He is the one who brings the life out of the dead. Living, pardon me, out of dead matter. Out of the dead, and death, or dead things out of the living. When we look at the earth, agriculture, we see life growing out of dead matter, right?
Mm-hmm.
When we look at ourselves, flesh, that's plant. When we look at flesh, we see dead matter growing out of living matter.
Mm-hmm.
The hair is dead matter. This has no life. It's dead. It's not living like grass. It is dead. Grass is living. This is dead. There's a difference. So the hair has no life. The truth of it, when you cut hair off from your head, cut grass off. It dries up and changes. Cut hair off, it stays the same. Because it's dead already. The fingernails are dead. Cut the fingernail off, it won't die, it stays the same, because it's already dead.
Mm-hmm.
Now science has told us that all over the body is death. No skin on your body is alive except beneath. All the skin on the surface is dead. All of it. So what are you? You're a living creature that's growing dead things outside of you.
Right? That's right.
And there's a dead earth that's growing living things outside of it.
Yes, sir.
You see how Allah do things in so many ways so that you don't have no excuse, no question. They've already showed you that I can do anything. I can make dead from living, I can make living from dead. I can make life from fire, I can make life from a lightning bug. You don't have to burn anything. So Allah shows us in so many ways that He has power over everything. Then He reaches the inner being, His soul and His conscience. And if you have a little faith, He can show you wonders.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little faith.
Mm-hmm.
And Allah will show you wonders in your own life.
Mm-hmm.
What excuse have we to disbelieve in Allah?
Mm-hmm.
No excuse.
No.
He says that it is a necessity that He...